Hey everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw, and today we're going to talk about four letters, GDPR.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
That has affected a lot of companies out there, especially, obviously, software companies. And I think it really is all about privacy. And the reason we're talking about it is we just think it's interesting, not necessarily GDPR as a whole, but the fact that we have such a privacy-conscious legislative bodies like in Europe that sort of have been pushing GDPR. And it's really interesting to hear a lot of the theories out there as to why and all that. But at the end of the day, it has to do with privacy and all of ours privacy, basically.
Yeah, I think there's this like growing. So to zoom maybe at the start at the kind of the high level view and then zoom into like the specifics of how do you deal with this as a startup, right? Especially when you have less resources to deal with some of these things. But on a very high level, I think that there are kind of very big debates and a lot of like political shifts going on around the world when it comes to how do we deal with privacy in a world, you know, where software companies can capture so much information about the individual users and customers and can keep that information indefinitely and can potentially use that information in all kinds of interesting ways. How do we protect consumers and customers from their information being misused in some way or their information being not within their control in a sense of like they've used a service 10 years ago and that company still keeps their data around and potentially uses that data or sells the data or whatever the hell they do with it. So there's a lot of like concerns around privacy and software, I think, going on politically. Europe is usually a very hyper-conservative kind of a political sphere in the world, especially when it comes to privacy and data and information. A lot of that, from my perspective, comes from Germany's place in Europe. And Germany being a nation that is hyper sensitive when it comes to privacy because of their history, and so there's a lot of stuff going on politically of like many big nations. But also interestingly, on top of that is, you know, even as a software business in the U.S., where you have nothing in quotes to do with Europe and European legislation and laws. Because we live in such a global world and because it's very, very rare that if you have a SaaS company or a software company out there that, you know, you're not going to have any customers that are around the world or that are in Europe, or you're not going to have any customers who do have customers in Europe, right? Which in effect puts you in the middle of this law, even indirectly. Because we live in such a global world, now these laws that are happening around the world can impact the way you run your business, the way that you have to administer and the amount of like legal fees and precautions that you have to take. But also philosophically, I think that up till recently, software businesses, a lot of startups, we got away with not having to worry or think too much about how we deal with the data that we're acquiring about our users and customers. And I think that it's interesting to ask the question, will this stay this way? Or is there a shift happening that puts a lot more pressure on software companies on how they're allowed to deal with the data they have? And what does that really mean at the end of the day? How do you navigate these waters, especially in the earlier days or in the smaller days? I know that companies like Salesforce, they had like a 200-person team working on GDPR for like a year or something insane like this, where like millions and millions have been spent by a single company. I think in generally I saw the number 7 billion somewhere in terms of the estimated amount of money spent for software companies to prepare for this law. And I know from our experience, I don't know about yours, but I know from our experience, it's been a huge pain in the ass for us to prepare for GDPR and do all the things required to be compliant. And so it's a hot topic and I'm curious to kind of unpack it. Both kind of like long-term philosophically, but also just tactically, like how do you deal with it when you're a smaller company? Dying to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, we had to deal with it for a while. We're an analytics company. I know you guys are a CRM company. There's differences between the two, but at the end of the day, we all had to deal with it, regardless of who we are, where we're at, to varying degrees. I have a new company that launched publicly that had to deal with it right after launch for the next 2 or 3 days, because we launched on the 22nd, and then the 25th, I think, is when it kicked in.
Yep.
So literally, we went from launch, which was already pretty hectic. I wish it wasn't, but it was, because it was the first launch of that business. And then we had to go and pour ourselves into GDPR for a couple of days. Thankfully, my other company had been dealing with it for a month and a half. So I had a lot of heads up on like what we needed to do on a minimal basis. So that, at least that's my context. So it's new company, super easy, relatively. Was able to pull it off really quickly. Old company took a lot longer, because there's lots of old data. It's an analytics company, so there's a lot of analytics stuff going on that requires like cookieing and ability to delete users, and do we do it automatically or abide by the 30-day request window and all kinds of stuff. So one of the key things about GDPR is I think it's unprecedented, because there were no real rules, and every lawyer we talked to said, hey, you can go implement this to a varying degree. It doesn't matter. And the reason they said that is, as long as you're trying to do something and make an effort, you're fine. Because even the regulators and the people who are going to look at your sites and all that, they're not really looking for the little guys, so to speak. They're really going after the bigger companies. And that's what this whole thing was intended for. Again, that's the theory. I don't want to say that that's any legal advice or anything like that, but that's the theory. Another theory I heard is that, and this is important because then it can provide context as to like what you do as a business. So what I like to do in these scenarios is like really figure out from multiple people, what do I need to do, and what is their take on it. So another theory that's out there is that the US was having a hard time regulating these tech companies. And so the EU was convinced in a bunch of ways to do that. And I think there's some valid reasons why. For example, the lobbying that the tech companies do in the government, you know, with the government spending money on it. Like if you go look, they spend a ton of money lobbying the government. And so the government is probably a little hamstrung, or their hands are tied because of the years of lobbying that these tech companies have done, which essentially means they're giving money to various people who can make these decisions. And the EU didn't have as strong of a lobbying aspect to it, where these tech companies are lobbying the EU or foreign European entities and stuff like that. So like, I think there's just this worry that people have, people meaning the people who can impose these laws, that like privacy of the citizens across the world are at risk, primarily because of these companies that store data. And then use it. It's not just storing it, it's also using it, but it's not just using it, it's the fact that they're storing it, like you said, for 10 years or whatever after you use the product and things like that. There were no rules. We're in a whole new territory here. So I think for me, I like to understand all that. And once I understood all that, I've also dealt with a lot of privacy issues in past company and stuff like that. So I have a very good kind of viewpoint on some of this stuff in terms of like, I just want to learn. I want to learn what the theories are, why this is happening. And then what do I need to do based on that? So what we did is we did the best we could in the shortest amount of time in both companies, considering what kind of businesses we were. Like Crazy Egg is a pretty widely used analytics tool. So us not having appropriate action there so that people feel comfortable would just not be good for business. But it also would put us at risk as a company, because we rely on people putting JavaScripts on their websites and us tracking their users to some extent. Thankfully, we don't have much, if any, personally identifiable information coming to our system just because of what the product does. While a lot of other companies, like analytics companies that are tracking that kind of info, have that coming in and have different things that they need to do as a result of that. So what we decided to do was do as much as we possibly could in whatever given time frame and make sure that we can show and document that we're doing that stuff. And it turns out that was fine. Because of some of the things I mentioned earlier. So I think context is super important, and trying to learn that context is the first step in that. So I'd love to hear kind of what you guys learned and what your kind of story is. But that's where I start with these things.
Yeah, so I think very similarly. I think number one, you never want to really, like, you want to make sure that you don't approach these topics emotionally, but you take them seriously, right? So in our case, We took a good amount of time to really do our research and do our homework and trying to understand what is the law really saying, what are multiple different experts saying, and then talking to a number of lawyers and saying, what are they telling us? And then taking a really good look and inventory of like, what are our practices right now? And what about these practices is already kind of within the law? What are these some of the things that we do that we could improve on or that we could highlight better and like what specifically we do? And didn't end up being like some kind of a crazy thing, but what we noticed, what was even more interesting than just putting our privacy household in order and making sure that we document a lot of these things and clean up kind of our situation to make sure that we're in really good standing. What was interesting, which even more interesting to me to a certain degree, was to see both how a lot of other companies in our space were dealing with this. And even like, you know, we were co-hosting webinars, right? And so all of a sudden, we're now saying, hey, you other software companies that are partnering with us to do these webinars, we tended to share, you know, we tended to offer free webinars to the world. People could sign up with their email address, and then every partner of the webinar would have access to that email and be able to send those people emails. How do we deal with this now moving forward? And it was so interesting to see the variety of responses from companies in our space that were kind of on top of their situation and really like responsible, all the way to companies that were like, well, I don't know, we don't understand what that is, and it has nothing to do with the US and we don't really care. And like companies that were super unprepared, all the way to companies that were really well prepared, and then companies that took it too far from our vantage point, where it's like now they're freaking out about everything, right? And they're like, they're going so far in trying to implement or implement this new regulation that they are, you know, they're going overboard. They're almost in a panic. And seeing all the companies that get in touch with us to make sure that we sign their privacy documentation because they're using our product and vice versa and all, it was just interesting to see how the other software companies were responding to this and kind of the wide variety from total carelessness to panic to a few of them that seemed to be in the space that we thought we occupied, which is the like thoughtful, careful, responsible, but not insane in terms of like going overboard in the reaction. It's also interesting for me because I travel so much back and forth between the US and Europe these days, just to see the difference in response in the US. Most of the founders that I'm talking to are like super annoyed by GDPR and like, this is so dumb and this is just like all this wasted money and time and energy and why do we have to deal with this, and just like being totally annoyed. And then when I'm in Europe, the founders here are like, yeah, well, this is a little inconvenient, but we think it's the right thing for privacy and the right thing for our customers. And we had to put these laws in place, otherwise they're misusing people. Just like seeing the differences in how people respond to these things. The same thing is same true. I just realized is the same thing is true with Alexa. It's so funny. Like a lot of our friends' families use Alexa quite heavily in a household. We do, and our kids constantly interact with Alexa to, you know, to ask questions or to get music wish lists played from Alexa. So it's kind of part of the household. And then when I'm in Europe, people freak out. Families here freak out by the idea of having an Amazon-owned device that listens to everything you say and that knows your family and that listens in even when you don't ask a question. Like, people here are so much more sensitive to their privacy and to what technology companies can do with their data than people are in the US. At least that was my experience in the last few months. It's just interesting to see. But in terms of like tactical and practical, I think it's always good to do your homework. Do some research. Don't just read an article, one source of information that says you don't have to worry about it or that says you have to absolutely panic and take it as truth, but read a variety of different opinions, do a bit of homework yourself, talk to a few different lawyers that have expertise, and then sit down and come up with a adult responsible game plan to make sure that your household is in order without making this like, without letting lawyers run your business. This might be, I don't want to go off on this, but might be a topic for a separate episode, but it's always interesting when you deal with lots of lawyers, is getting their advice, but then still making the decisions yourself versus letting lawyers run your business. A lot of times in my experience, lawyers tend to be so risk averse that they're going to try to eliminate any kind of risk, no matter how unlikely it is. And if you go by that rule, it becomes sometimes very hard to run a business. But it's interesting to see how the market is responding. And I don't see a unison response. I see a wild variety of how software companies are responding to this. Even some big ones, I'd be surprised. We use a marketing automation tool that's really, really big. And we ping them and we're like, hey, GDPR is coming. We have all these forms. We have to make some few changes. What is your support in terms of making all these like lead capture pages and all this stuff GDPR compliant? And they were basically like, well, nothing. I don't know. We haven't done anything. You guys have to figure this out on your own. And we haven't, like, they didn't even do their own stuff, as far as I can tell, based on what you would expect a $100 million plus SaaS company to do. So it's just funny to see a variety of responses in the market. And it's going to be interesting to see in the next like year or so on how this law is actually going to be put in practice and how it's going to be enforced and what that's going to mean for different companies.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. And what I've seen from talking to a lot of lawyers about this and getting a lot of data is that depending on who your lawyer is, you're going to have a different level of compliance.
Yep.
And the compliance on GDPR is one of the most interesting things about it is that the rules and laws are unclear.
Yeah.
And they're just like many other things, they are an opportunity for lawyers to spend your money. Or they're an opportunity for lawyers to help you be smart. And I like the lawyers that help me be smart versus the ones that just want to spend my money or take my money. And again, no offense to any lawyers, even if you feel like, you know, you had to do a lot of work for GDPR and you charge your clients a lot of money. That's totally cool. It's just not my kind of law and not what I prefer. What I prefer is when the lawyer's pragmatic and